Today we're going to talk about dreaming big dreams. And I'm so glad that we have the seniors here in these first few rows and their families, because I want to challenge you today to dream the dreams that God has for you. But to the rest of the church, I want to give you a heads up. At the end of the service, I want you to be thinking about the sacrifices you have made in order to receive the life that God has called you to live. The sacrifices that you have made in order to follow Christ. What has it cost you? And at the end, you're going to have an opportunity to share something with our seniors through this art activity that we're going to do at the end. So I want you to be thinking about that. Turn with me to your Bibles, to Luke chapter 24. We're going to read just three very short verses. They're very short, but they're so very important. Seniors, as we come to the text today on graduation Sunday, it's a special day as we celebrate with you all that you've accomplished. But in a way, as we come together to celebrate all that you've accomplished, we're also sort of looking ahead with you. And I know that some of you are thinking about some of those big questions, like, what are you going to study? Where are you going to move? What college are you going to go to? And I want to challenge you, as you do that, as you stand at this very important time in your life, I want to challenge you to dream the dreams that God has for you. And so it's my hope that as we dig into this text today, that we'll get a picture, a glimpse of what those dreams are and how to make those dreams a reality in our life. Okay? Let's read this together. Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 39. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they had saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And we ask for God's blessing upon the reading of this word. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever have you worked so hard on a plan only to find out that it didn't end up the way that you had hoped? And all of the time, all of the energy, and all of the resources that you put into it, gone. All of it's done, over with. Which ultimately leaves you with trying to figure out, okay, now what do I do? Where do I go from here, and what does my future look like? Well, this is exactly where we find Jesus and the disciples. Immediately after that, they find out the news that Jesus had been crucified. They come together, and in other gospels, they go to an obscure upper room, and they begin to sort through what it is that they're going to do next. Well, I think that as we find them sifting through what it is that they're going to do next, I think that what we see them see here is that they're dealing with something more than simply sifting through the disappointment that comes with losing a close friend. You see, I think in a lot of ways the disciples were looking to Jesus to give them a better future a better future than what they had had. And this kind of makes sense because the disciples, as lowly fishermen and tax collectors, working dead-end jobs with no future ahead of them, Jesus represented for them an opportunity to be a part of something that was so much bigger than who they were. And so Jesus was their opportunity in some ways, I think, to work their way up the chain within society. For if they could better themselves, if they could get better positions within this new kingdom that Jesus was talking about, they'd be able to make more money and provide for their family. This could be the break that they had been looking for, which would ultimately lead to them providing for their families so that they wouldn't have to risk their life on the boat, for example, anymore. But as we also make our way through the Gospels, one of the things that I think happens too is that when Jesus talks about his movement as a kingdom, I think that the disciples could have seen this as an opportunity to finally get Rome off of their backs. Jesus' kingdom could potentially lead to a revolution that would put Israel on the map, restore it to a place of power so that they could finally be free from Roman occupation. And so when Jesus called them to follow him, and they did, I think there was a sense in which that they believed that Jesus could be a means by which they could secure a better future for them and their families. Now, the problem for this was twofold. Number one, it was inward focused. And although I don't think that Jesus is against us at times focusing in on ourselves, Jesus knew that as long as things were going well for him and the kingdom, the disciples would be following close behind. But the minute that things got tough, the minute that the disciples would be asked to sacrifice themselves, Jesus' concern was that they would ultimately flee. The other problem with this was that as long as this was inward focused, this lacked the imagination for the disciples to see ultimately all that God wanted for them in their life. You see, when he called them to follow him, he had a plan that involved so many more people than the disciples and their families. When Jesus called them to follow him, he envisioned them being a part of a movement that would give them a sense of purpose, a sense of belonging, a sense of fulfillment that could not be attained by simply getting a good job so that they could pay the bills, take care of their families, and live a comfortable life. Jesus had envisioned a life that was so much bigger than themselves. So I think what happens here is that when the disciples see Jesus, they see an opportunity to change their situation. But when Jesus sees the disciples, he sees an opportunity to change the world. He had bigger dreams and plans for what their life could look like. And so as we make our way through the Gospels, I think we see the disciples really just struggling with these two ideas. And as we know, as the story plays out, sure enough, when things were going well, that's exactly what happened. The disciples, they stayed close by. They followed Jesus very closely. But when things got tough, because the disciples lacked the imagination to see what God could do in their life, when Jesus died, I think that what we see here in this passage, so part of the fear and the pain and the disappointment, is that so did their future. As a result, they fled, they locked themselves in an upper room, and began to sift through what they were going to do next. Today, seniors, is a very, very important day for you and also for us as a church, as it really is this opportunity for us to just come together and celebrate with you a very, very monumental moment in your life. All of the hard work that you've put into graduation, all of those late nights that you've pulled in order to get your assignments done, all of those community service hours you had to complete in order to graduate, your culminating project, all of that stuff is now behind you. And so I want to take this opportunity to just congratulate you and say job well done. But I also want to talk to the parents as well, as I said before, because I think that for your child to receive this diploma, it means so much more than just than what your student did. I know that some of your stories, you sacrificed so much so that your student could receive that diploma, and probably sacrifices that some of us will never understand. And so as we celebrate the success of your senior, we want to honor you as well. So seniors, as you find yourself at this very important time, looking ahead, dreaming about all of the possibilities that lay in front of you, I want to share with you a story that exists out there that will come up over and over again. Now, this story has several different faces. It has several different forms. But as a general rule, they all have the same storyline, and they all have the same ending. And it is this. As you move ahead, if you haven't already, you will come across the story that says that life is best lived when you're at the center of it. Now, initially, this story doesn't sound all that bad. So the problem really lies is ultimately how this story ends up playing out. What usually ends up happening is that this story ends up becoming so inward focused that everyone in your family, everyone in your life, your friends, your family, your job, your spouse, your career, has as its main purpose to simply benefit you. And so when you begin to imagine what your life might look like, since you're at the center of it all, the way that life looks like is a life in which everyone and everything becomes a means to accomplish your own purposes and plans. And I would add here that if you're a Christian or if you're religious, that this ultimately ends up playing out in how you relate to Jesus and the kingdom, very much like the disciples did. Jesus and his kingdom becomes a means to fulfill your own plans and purposes. So that if Jesus says or does something that could potentially help you in your pursuit, you're on board. You take it. If he calls you to follow him, as long as it ultimately benefits you, you're following close behind. When things get tough, however, the minute that it could put you at odds with you and the development of your career, you're out of there. If it doesn't align with what you think is best for you, you discount it. I want to share with you today that as you stand here thinking about all of the possibilities, as you stand here thinking about and dreaming about what the future is going to hold for you, if all you can do is imagine a future in which you're at the center of it and everything and everyone becomes a means to that end, you are missing out on what God wants for your life. Amen. You will find yourself incredibly unhappy, discontent, without a meaning or purpose outside of yourself. And like the disciples, you will be incredibly disappointed with the result of all of the time, all of the energy, all of the resources that you put into chasing after this story. Richard. I want to tell you today that God wants you to dream bigger dreams for yourself. He has something so much greater for you in store than simply living your life for yourself. To live life for yourself is ultimately to refuse to live into the potential that God sees in you. It is to live the less than human life. God wants to accomplish within us so much more than what we could accomplish on our own. And this is what it means to live life to the fullest, to live a more fully human life. And the cool thing about it is that God refuses to let us settle for anything less. Amen. Going back to the text, while the disciples were locked up in a room trying to figure out what they were going to do next, Jesus appears to them and says to them, "Peace be with you." God, absolutely refusing to let the disciples settle for anything less than living it to the full, returns to the very ones who turned their back on him. Amen. Who couldn't get it right the first time. Aren't you glad for God's grace this morning? That when we didn't get it right the first time, when we couldn't imagine anything more for ourselves and for our lives, he refused to let us settle for something less. After Jesus was resurrected from the dead, the first people he returns to are the same disciples that turned their back on him. And he said, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus does something very interesting. He begins to show them the scars in his hands and in his feet. I think what Jesus is doing there in this moment is that he, as he's showing them his hands and feet, he is inviting them, he's inviting the disciples to imagine life above and beyond themselves. And he does this in at least three ways. The first is that in showing himself to them, Jesus shows them that the finality of death has been defeated. Now, this is important because in some sense, it was death that ultimately grasped the imagination of the disciples. For if life was all about the time that we spend from birth to death, then why not live the inward-focused life? If there is no life beyond the grave, we might as well use anything and everything to benefit ourselves. But if there is life beyond the grave, and death is no more, this changes things. It reshapes our imagination and changes the way that we live. In appearing to them, Jesus is showing them that death had him beat for a few days. But on the third day, he was raised in the power of the Holy Spirit by the Father, and death could not hold him. In appearing to them, Jesus was saying that because death has been defeated, they no longer had to spend the rest of their life running from death. Now that death has been defeated, they can begin to imagine their life as part of something that was no longer hindered by death itself. And so not only was Jesus showing them that death had lost its sting, he was also showing them that there was an alternative way to live their life. Because death is no longer the end of the story, we can live differently. Part of living the alternative life that Jesus points is actually believing that we can live a different life. We can live the life that God wants for us even before we die. We don't have to wait until we die in order to begin to experience this life. And showing them his hands and feet, the scars that were on his hands and feet, he was telling them that they could live an alternative life in the here and now because death had been defeated. Finally, Jesus not only showed them that new life was possible, but he also showed them the way to that life. As Jesus was showing his scars to them, he was showing them that if they wanted to live life to the fullest, if they wanted to begin to experience what it was like to be dead and resurrected, they would have to be willing to give their lives to it, no matter what sacrifices they would have to make. See, Jesus embodied the ultimate outward-focused life by giving himself up for others. The story goes that humanity was on the path to destruction. Something needed to happen. God refused to let sin have the final word. So the Bible tells us that God gave his one and only Son. Jesus sacrificed all that he was in order to make the kingdom of God a reality on earth. And he loved the plan so much that he was willing to give all that he was towards it, even to death on a cross. Jesus poured himself out for the overall good of the world. The scars that Jesus received represented the sacrifice he made in order to live life to the fullest. And so as we imitate this move of love in order to make all that God wants for us a reality in our life, we also will receive scars. You see, so often I think that we can follow Christ without the scars. We want everything to do with Jesus until it puts us at odds with people. But in showing them his scars, Jesus was saying to the disciples, if you want to live life to the fullest, it will not come without scars from the sacrifices that you make. It will cost you something. Now, seniors, because of the time and place that we currently find ourselves in, more than likely, the cost, the sacrifice that you make, will not ultimately result in you paying the ultimate sacrifice. But that doesn't take away from the fact that you will sacrifice something. It will cost you something. And so when we talk about sacrifices and scars, for some of us, the scars will be, the sacrifice that you will make will be the result of leaving your friends, your family, the ones who love you the most, in order to follow God's call in your life. For some of us, the sacrifice might be related to finances. Some of you will be asked to give up finances in order to follow the call that is placed on your life. For some of us, it will be making tough decisions. Following Christ is not easy. In order for us to step into the life that God wants for us, in order for that to become a reality in our lives, we're going to have to give our lives to it. And as a result, we will receive scars. But what I want to tell you today is that whatever scar you receive as a result of following after Christ will pale in comparison to the life that you receive. And I want to give you three things, three aspects of that life that you will receive when you give your life over to Christ. First is a larger story. One of the things that we get in exchange is the connection to a story that is so much larger than who we are. You see, the story of God is a story that goes all the way back to the beginning of time, and it will last until eternity. The problem with imagining yourself, imagining your future, the problem with not imagining yourself beyond your time here on earth is that none of it goes beyond your time here on earth. But when we respond to God's call in our life, and we say yes to him, and he becomes Lord of our life, he connects us to his story, a story that is so much bigger than yourself. So as you begin to imagine what you will give your life to, think bigger than yourself. Think about doing something that will have an impact well beyond the time span of your life here on earth. The things that you will want to invest in will be those things that stand the test of time and will ultimately last. That is the story of God. And it is into this story that we get invited into to become participants in when we give our lives over. And any scar that you receive as a result of being connected to it is so worth it. And because we're connected to this story, we are given a much larger purpose. We receive a purpose that can drive us to overcome all odds. You see, the problem with imagining your life at the center of it is that you have no other purpose than to benefit you and your situation. No wonder people who have no other purpose than this are depressed and unsatisfied with their life. When we give our lives to Christ and we are connected to the story of God that goes all the way back to the beginning of time and will continue to the end, we are given a purpose that takes us above and beyond ourselves. It means that the third thing is a larger community. The scars that you will receive will compare in comparison to the community that you receive. As we've talked about before, you're going to be mistreated. You'll be misunderstood. But all of the scars that you receive from the sacrifice, all of the scars that you receive from the sacrifices that you make can be isolating. But the good news is that we are not expected to do this alone. When Christ calls us to follow him, he puts us into a community, which is called the church. And as you move forward in making these sacrifices, you are given a community to share these sacrifices, to share these scars. And as you stay connected to this community, you will find encouragement in knowing that others share similar scars as you do to live the life that God has for you. So seniors, as you stand at this very crucial moment in your life, I want to encourage you to dream God's dream for your life. When he looks at you, he has dreams for you that dream dreams with imagination that is far above and beyond your time here. He wants you to live life to the fullest. Make no mistake, this life will require you to give your life. But the sacrifice you make will pale in comparison to the life that you will receive. It's totally the life worth living. This is where I'm going to need your help as a church. We're going to close, and I'm going to go ahead and ask if the band will go ahead and come on up. And I wanted to make sure that you had a chance to also speak into the lives of our graduates. And so I asked you to be thinking about something that you've had to give up, something that you've had to sacrifice, whatever that scar is in your life, in order to follow the call that God has placed on your life. In just a few moments, I'm going to allow you time to go ahead and come on up. We have, Courtney Crocker has helped us put together some jars here. We have some paper, and you'll see when you come on up that there is a name on top of the lid with a hand on it. And in the hand is a scar, represents Jesus' scar. And so the idea here is that you will write something down on one of these sheets of paper that represents a scar in your life. And you will write it down and you'll stick it in here so that when our seniors come to that place where they are sifting through the scars, the sacrifices that they've had to make in order to follow after Christ's calling in their life, they'll have this to look back on and remember that they're not alone in this journey. And so in just a few moments, as the band begins to play, I want to invite you to go ahead and come down. We've got 19 total jars up here. So I completely understand if you don't get to all of them, do a couple. And we'll have, I'm sure, some time after the service as well for you to come up and do that. But I want to invite you to go ahead and come forward.